From Anshe Svar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Vayechi, Growing the Love. If we look at the relationship that Yaakov has with his wife Leah and his relationship with Yehuda, we discover that the love grows. Let me explain. At the outset, in terms of Yaakov's relationship with his wives, it seems that he has an infatuation with Rachel. What's interesting is, never does it say that Rachel is crazy about Yaakov. But we know that Yaakov is crazy about Rachel, to the extent that Yaakov actually finds his work, his 7 years of work for his wife, it's like nothing, it's like days. Because he loved her so much. As to the actual relationship he had with Rachel, the only conversations we have are negative. She says, give me children, or if not, I'm dying. I'll die. He says, who am I? Am I instead of God that I prevented you from having children? It's not a very pleasant conversation. And we wonder, what kind of relationship do they really have? Furthermore, when you look at Rachel and the way he found Rachel, you might say, Jacob may have said to himself, look at this. My father's servant, Eliezer, he came here to Mesopotamia, to Haran, and he found a bride at the well. And look, I found the bride at the well too. So it's the same thing. She's just like Rivka. But actually, he found Rachel, but she didn't give him water. She didn't give water to the camels. It wasn't the same thing. Furthermore, later on we find that eventually Yaakov insists that he be buried with Leah. Doesn't he want to be buried next to Rachel? Now, I'd like to argue that over time, his love changes. In fact, Leah actually lays it out. She gives us the anatomy of this growth of love. When it came to Reuven and Shimon, she was afflicted. She was snuah. She says, God saw that I was afflicted. God heard my cry. I'm crying. Leah is known for her tears. But then, when Levi, the third child, was born, she said, Hapani Levi Shilai. Now my husband will come with me, because as the Chizkuni says, if you have one child on one arm and one child on the other arm, and you have a third child, your husband has to help. So this time, surely, my husband will come to help me out as well. And then the fourth child, she says, Apam Rodeh Hashem. This time I'll just thank God. What about the relationship? What happened to the relationship? Is she just putting that aside and thanking God anyway for all the children? Or has the relationship changed and morphed? If we then turn our attention to Yehuda and Yaakov's relationship with his first love, with Yosef. He loves Yosef so much. Kiven zikunim hulo. He's his child of old age, and you know, he's so impressive. Yosef is just an impressive guy. I mean, when Paro meets this Yosef, he signs him up to run the whole country. This guy is very impressive. And Yaakov really loves him. But if we ask ourselves a question, who really understands Yaakov most? Well, Yosef ignored his father for 22 years. He didn't say, hey, Dad, my brothers, forget about them, but I'd like to come see you. I'm the head of Egypt. Why don't you come visit me? It's a big question of Yaakov Meidan. Others have debated, discussed, why didn't he contact his parents? Let's say he couldn't. But do we ever find that he really gets his father? Who really gets his father? You know who really gets him? Yehuda. Yehuda turns to Yosef and he explains that Shnayim Yaldei Ishti. Yehuda says, look, from my father's perspective, he's got one wife. Her name is Rachel. Now, this may or may not be true. Could be that after Rachel died, he continued to idealize Rachel as this ideal woman that he loves so much. But still, his love for Leah may have grown in with the passing of Rachel. And that's why he's buried with Leah. But still, and from a nostalgic point of view, Yehuda understands Yaakov and he says, look, let me explain to you, Mr. Egyptian viceroy. Let me explain to you. I only had two children. I only had one wife. It was Rachel. And one, I don't know, he was killed or something like that. And the second one, now if you take him, I'll die. Yehuda describes exactly the feelings of his father. And when Yaakov is looking for someone to send down to Egypt, well, Joseph is setting everything up, it should be fine. No. Yaakov sent Yehuda, but Yehuda shalach l'fanav al Yosef. Yehuda was sent to set up their situation in Egypt because Yaakov really trusts Judah as the go-to man. When Judah said, look, I'll take responsibility for Binyamin, he said, okay, fine. He trusted him. And in fact, when we get to the blessings of Yaakov, we find a very important thing. On the one hand, the two tribes that get the most blessings are Yehuda, 5 verses, Yosef, 5 verses. No one has anything like that. Maybe Yisachar, a few verses, but most tribes just get 1 verse. Judah, Joseph, 5 verses. But who gets more stuff? Well, they both get military promises. They both get financial promises of plenty. However, promise of leadership, it's the Lord Yashur Shevim Yehuda. The leadership will never leave, the scepter will never leave Judah. Judah is given the big prize, the leader. You're the one your brothers will bow down to. Similar to the brothers bowing down to Yitzchak, to his father, Yaakov's brothers bowing down to him. You're going to be the head. There's some allusion to Joseph being the Nazarite of all the brothers, the choices of the brothers, but the real leadership goes to Judah. In the end, Jacob picks Judah. Now he finesses it. He meets with Joseph and he says, look, you're going to get double portion and it's great and wants to see his children. But really, it's Judah who gets the real prize. Jacob began his life thinking, I know who I love. I love Rachel. She's so beautiful. And you know what? What he learned was that it's really Leah who really desires a relationship with him. It's really Leah who's crying every night that she wants to be more with her husband. She was willing to trade the mandrakes of her son so she could be with her husband one extra night. She really loves her husband. And maybe over time, he began to appreciate that. And my real wife is Leah. And in the end, he has to tell Yosef, well, you know, your mother died, you know, on the road. And, you know, I want to be buried with Leah. In the end, there's Abraham and Sarah. There's Yitzchak and there's Rivka. And in the Maris Machpelah, in Hebron, in the tomb of the patriarchs, in the matriarchs, you know what there is? There's Jacob and Leah. Because in the end, that's his real relationship. He didn't see it. Rachel was so beautiful. But Leah had those eyes. She had special soft eyes. He had to look into those eyes and see that this is a woman who her whole life goal is to be married to this Jacob. The Midrash says that she was so worried she'd have to marry Esau because she was the older one. She didn't want to do that. She wanted to marry Jacob. She was longing for him. And sometimes you learn that the person you should love most is the person who appreciates your love the most. And that was Leah. And it comes to Joseph. Sometimes it's not always the flashiest one who has all these different skills and talents, but it's the one who commands the respect of the brothers, the one who understands your guts. He's willing to put aside as his elderly father. From his perspective, if he only has one wife, that's how he tells the story. Because Judah is ready to do whatever it takes for his father. He would sell himself to slavery for his father. And ultimately, that's Jacob's ultimate son, is Judah. So what do we learn from this? Learn that sometimes, you know, it's not the love at first sight that's most important. We learn that love sometimes grows. We learn that love sometimes comes from a place that you didn't expect it. And here's the most fascinating thing that I noticed just this week. Who is his ultimate son? If you look in the blessings of the 12 tribes, which we're going to look at Thursday night, a different discussion about the meaning of the blessings, Jacob's blessings. Who does he call my son? Because after all, Abraham called to Isaac and he said, you know, Bini, Ve'on, Bini, my son, what would you like, my son? When they were going to the sacrifice of Isaac. And Isaac and Jacob had a conversation, Re'ach Bini, the smell of my son. Because from his perspective, Esav, who he thought was standing in front of him, that was his real son, Bani, my real son. Who is Jacob's Bani, my son? If you look in the blessings of Jacob, twice Jacob says to Judah, Bani. Miteref, Bani, Alita. Calls him Miteref from being destroyed. My son, you rose up. You always rise up. You're always going to defeat the enemy. You're like a lion. Bani Atono, the debate, what it means, but it could mean, once again, my son, you're going to have great grapevines in your country, my son. At least once, definitely, possibly twice, Jacob, in the blessings, refers to, you know who my son is? It's Judah. Encoded in these blessings, where he seems to give a blessing to everybody, a little bit of something to everybody. Actually, he secretly divulges that his real son is Judah. And that's why Judah was the main tribe. David is from Judah. The Mashiach will be from Judah. We are the Jewish people. We're the Jews. We come from Judea. Ultimately, the future of Jacob is with Judah. Love grows. Love comes from strange places. It's not always what you think it is. It's certainly not found necessarily in the flashiness and the beauty. Sometimes it's looked deeply inside the eyes. Thank you for joining us here for our discussion of the Parshat Vayechi, and join us for the discussion of other Parshiyot, holidays, and thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.